He is the one who is able to broker peace between you and your Maker. He is indeed the Prince of Peace. He is also one who is eternal, and he cares for you as a father graciously and tenderly cares for his children. He's wise, he's all-knowing, he is indeed a counselor beyond our understanding. He is the Son of God. He is begotten of the Father. Begotten, not created. He is the Lamb who was slain for you and for me. He is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. During this Advent season, we've been considering some of the names and the titles that are attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have them here, presented on the walls in the chapel. And tonight we're going to consider King of Kings. And God willing, tomorrow morning, we will finish our series with looking at Jesus Christ. Now, I came across, again, it was something I saw posted on social media. I'm not very active on social media, and maybe this is a good opportunity to say that if you sent a friend request and I never got back to you, it's because I don't function at all with social media. But my wife looks out for the odd thing, and she'll say, "Oh, here's an interesting post," or she might say, "Oh, this is a concerning post," or "This is a thrilling post." And I mentioned this morning that she saw a text that was thrilling, and actually it moved me to shed a few tears. It really resonated. The truth of that text resonated in my own heart because it was all about the Lamb of God. And of course, I was preaching on the Lamb of God here this morning. But we came across this post, and I said to Viv, "Oh, do me a favor, save it. I can use that." So if ever you see any posts or any, I don't know, quotations, and you think, "Oh, I found that quite encouraging or thrilling," then forward it to me, and we can always make use of it. Maybe for not next week, but certainly in the future, the Lord will use it. Nothing is wasted with God. Here's this quote. "A thousand times in history, a baby has become a king. But only once in history did a king become a baby." I'll say that again. "A thousand times in history, a baby has become a king. But only once in history did a king become a baby." Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes we can get caught up with the sentimentality of Christmas. And we can have this view of this evening, silent night, all is calm, all is bright. The baby was there in the manger, no crying he made. And the cattle are lowing. And everyone else was tucked up in bed, fast asleep, completely unaware of all the events that were taking place in Bethlehem. There was a few shepherds who were possibly social outcasts, although this morning we saw that they had a very prominent and real responsibility in raising and rearing lambs that could be sent to Jerusalem to be sacrificed. And they would pick out the best, the ones without spot or blemish, that they would be sent for the daily sacrifices which God prescribed as they wanted to approach a holy God. How do we approach a holy God? Through sacrifice. How do we approach a holy God tonight? Because we are men and women and young people who have been designed, and we've been made and created by a holy God. You are not the result of some coincidence or fate or chance. You have been designed. There is a designer. You've been made. You are precious. You are unique. You've been made in the very image and likeness of God. And so how can we approach this awesome, mighty, holy God? Well, there's only one way in which we can approach him, and it's through sacrifice. Now, we're not going to, you'll be pleased to know, we're not going to bring a lamb in and kill it here. Because Jesus, those lambs that were slaughtered were pictures of Jesus, God's lamb, the Lamb of God. He died for our sin in our place, that we could be connected to God, reconnected to God, that we could know God in a personal and intimate way. I was chatting to an old friend, when was it? Yesterday, perhaps. And we were talking about Christianity. And I believe in the land tonight, here in Wales, there are different types of Christianity. Did you know that? You see, there's one type of Christianity that would somehow say, I believe there's a God and he's somewhere out there. And I believe he's kind and he's good. And I believe that ultimately he will make sure that I'm okay. That's a type of Christianity that's very real tonight in many parts of Wales and the valleys. Then there's another type of Christianity who would say, oh, well, as long as you're in church and you do your best, then God will overlook all the other stuff. Do your best, work hard, be kind. And somehow, by just make sure you get to church every week, make sure that you take Holy Communion when you can, make sure if someone's willing to throw water over you, take it whilst you have the opportunity, and you'll be fine. That's another type of Christianity that's active in the land tonight. But then there's a biblical Christianity. There's a biblical Christianity which says that God can be known. That you can know him in a personal way. You can know him not just as the king of your life. You can know him as Lord. You can know him as a friend. You can know him. And you can enjoy an intimate, personal relationship with him. Because of Jesus Christ, who was born on that first Christmas. The Lamb of God. The one who is King of Kings. Now, in the New Testament, King of Kings is only mentioned on three occasions, the title that's attributed to Jesus, only on three occasions, twice in Revelation, one of which that Bernard read for us there in Revelation 19, and also in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And on each occasion, when we have describing the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings, it's always with Lord of Lords. You never hear the New Testament writer saying, well, Jesus is King of Kings, full stop. The emphasis is that he's not only just King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords. In other words, he is the supreme authority. And why people find Christmas quite sentimental is because we celebrate the birth of a baby. And when you look at a young baby, a baby is non-threatening. You can come along and you can, I don't know, what's the word? When you coo over them, isn't it? Is that, or do you do that over pigeons? I don't know. Or is that what pigeons do? Who knows? But isn't he lovely? Isn't he handsome? Or she's got her mother's eyes and the father's nose. And you look at a child and everyone feels so much better when you hear the birth. Mum and baby are doing well and everyone's excited. And so for many people tonight, Christmas is you know, even if they want to acknowledge it's about the birth of Jesus Christ, but okay, it's a great story. And it's a time when we can just gather together with family and friends. We can eat, drink, and be merry. and we can have some extra time off work. We've got a few bank holidays thrown into the mix. Hey, life is good. And we can forget about all the rubbish that's gone on in our lives throughout this last year. And that's how people view Christmas. But a biblical Christianity is that Christmas is God's rescue mission. It's a rescue mission. And you know, we're always gripped when we see on Sky News, when news filters through that dozens of miners have been trapped underground or people have gone missing and there's a rescue mission. And we tune in on the hour. Any news? A few years ago, I think it was miners in Chile. Any news? And then they say, yeah, we've got some news. We've got an update. We think we've located the miners, or we think we've located the people who we're trying to rescue. And they give you these updates. And a few days go by, and you get more updates. And then, eventually, the best news of all. We found them. And we've been able to rescue them. And we've brought them up from underground one by one. And they're all well. They're all well, and they're fit, and they're alive. And it's great, isn't it? That the mission to rescue them was successful. Christmas is about God's rescue mission for you and for me. And so Christmas is more about Jesus rescuing people like us. Because he doesn't desire that we should go to a lost eternity. Because whilst we might be young tonight, we think, oh, I've got so many years ahead of me. Well, that's not necessarily true. God doesn't promise us tomorrow, does he? He's graciously given us today. And he wants us tonight to understand that Jesus, born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, is King of Kings. Only once in history has a king become a baby. And so, in the short time we have available, and I did promise that I'd be a bit shorter tonight. Okay? So that it gives you an opportunity to have a cup of tea and some fellowship. But I thought I would just very briefly show you the significance, what it means, and why it matters. I mean, you might say to yourself, oh, that's lovely, Andy, that Jesus is King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords. Okay, it's there in the reading. The rider of the white horse, there, with this blood stained robe, with this name, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, that's great. But what does it mean? Why does it matter that Jesus is King of Kings? Do you know those wise men came from the east? And what was the question that was etched on their heart? Where is he that has been born King of the Jews? You see, scripture, prophecy, was suggesting that a king was coming. A king was coming. And so all for hundreds of years, the prophets were pointing to one who is King of Kings. He's coming. And the New Testament writer says, he's arrived. And God the Father has revealed to us the King of Kings, his Son, Lord of Lords. You say, well, that's great, but why does it matter? What does it mean? So I thought I'd very briefly just give you some comparisons between the King of Kings and other kings. Because throughout scripture and throughout biblical history, we have recorded for us the reigns of several kings. Some were good and godly kings and reigned in a God-honoring way. Others were evil and bad kings who rejected the counsel of God. So we're going to consider other kings, earthly kings, and then compare them to the one who was born is King of Kings. And then you'll see, God willing, in about 10 minutes' time, you'll see what it means and why it matters. Firstly, other kings are proud. They're very much, look at me. They're very much about, they're often filled with a big ego. That I'm now in charge. But the King of Kings, who has authority over everything. Because Bethlehem wasn't his beginning. He was of old. His origins were of old. He is the eternal king. He's always existed. We talk about the existence of Jesus, the king, as the pre-incarnate king. In other words, he existed. He was still king before Bethlehem. Now, the incarnation, when the King of Kings, with no ego, what does he do? He lowers himself. He humbles himself. He comes down. You've sung it tonight. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. So we see something of his humility. So the King of Kings humbled himself. He was willing to leave the throne room of heaven. He was willing to lay aside his glorious, majestic robes. And he came and he stooped down. As the hymn writer says, he stoops down to woo us and to win us. How does he do it? By dying for us in our place on the cross. That's the first thing. The King of Kings is humble. He is the humble king. Secondly, other kings, earthly kings, what they try and do is they have an agenda to conquer people and to enslave people. But this king, the King of Kings, his plan, it is not to conquer people and to enslave people, but the King of Kings, his plan is to conquer Satan and to set people free. To conquer Satan. You see, Satan is another name for the devil, who's very real. He's the arch enemy of God. And the devil tonight will do everything he can in his limited power to seduce you, to confuse you, to actually try and convince you that there is someone greater or there's someone as powerful as this King of Kings. That he isn't the ultimate authority. Now, why does Satan want to seduce you and to convince you that this King of Kings doesn't possess the throne of eternity? I'll tell you why. Because if there was a higher authority, then if we bow down in subjection to this king, then that would be idolatry. But there isn't anyone greater. He alone, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he alone has authority over every matter in this world, in the universe, in the cosmos. That he alone has all authority. He says, Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So, his plan is to conquer Satan and his scheme and to set people free. To die for sinners that we might know the forgiveness of a holy God. other kings, earthly kings, what they try to do, they try to implement in their rule and reign systems or regulations and laws and decrees that in some way gives them control over future events. But this king, who is King of Kings, he holds the future in his hand. He doesn't need to issue decrees and various laws to influence the future. He controls the future. He controls your future and my future. And this King of Kings, ultimately, he has the final say in where we spend eternity. Now, here's another lie of the devil. The devil will say to you is, this is your life. You get one chance. And after you die, that's the end. Dead and buried. Finito. What does the King of Kings say? It says, death is the entry into eternity. And so, in this life, God graciously gives us opportunities to get to know, in a personal way, the King of Kings. That we have, if you like, we have a, not speed dial, but we have access into the presence of a holy God via the King of Kings. He says, his words, not mine, no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to heaven and the only way to God is via King's Cross. Not the train station. But this king humbled himself and died on a cross. Why? Because he was making it possible for you and for me, if we ask this king to forgive us of our sins, to be connected to God, and we'd have a way into the presence of God, that we can be friends with God forever. More than that, that the King of Kings will make plans and preparations for us to live in his heavenly dwelling forever. I go to prepare a place for all who submit to my lordship and to my kingship. Are you willing to bow your knee to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords? Most earthly kings, other kings, they rise up to rule and to reign, and they look down on us. This King of Kings came down to us so that we could be lifted up. He came down to us. He met with us. He became a man. The King of Kings, God eternal, God the Son, was willing to humble himself, became a man, and was willing to save us and to lift us from sin and death, despondency and despair. Lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now you could belong to him, but you need to ask him. You say, oh, that sounds a bit too straightforward for my liking. Ask, words of Jesus, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. We need to be in a relationship with the King of Kings. We need to be, because only through this King of Kings can we enjoy a relationship with the living God. Now, other kings and earthly kings, they rule from a position of fear. They rule with fear and from fear. This King of Kings, he rules with a heart and from a heart of love. He loves you. Do you know, I need to say this. There are many people in the world tonight who feel unloved. This King of Kings is a living king. He's a reigning and ruling king. He is speaking to us through his word. Listen to what he says. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And so we don't need to be in fear of him. We stand in awe of him because he's King of Kings. He's God in flesh. He's God eternal. But we don't need to be fearful of him. Why? Because he rules graciously, lovingly, compassionately. And he is a king of mercy. You know what mercy is? He withholds from us what we deserve. He withholds from us what our sins deserve. King of Kings. See, there is no higher authority anywhere in the world tonight other than this King of Kings. That, to me, is the wonder of Christmas. And I have the privilege to be able to share this with you and with those at home. Do you know this King of Kings? Look, other kings are selfish and cruel. And they try to establish their kingdoms by their own efforts and by human hands. This King of Kings, he's selfless and he's compassionate. And he establishes his kingdom, not with human hands, but he establishes his kingdom as a spiritual kingdom. He establishes it by grace, because of mercy, and with an everlasting love. Whoever wants to come and to know the blessing of forgiveness, those who want to come and enjoy an intimate relationship with the living God, the creator of all things, they can do it tonight. You can know God tonight through the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Other kings and earthly kings, their rule is limited. The King of Kings, his rule is eternal. He establishes and he sits on the throne of his father, David, forever. Thus fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies. Thus fulfilling all that God said would happen. Listen, if you've got any doubts about whether God is playing games with you, just go back through Scripture and see how time and time and time again, when God says, listen, this is what I'm going to do. And you'll discover he's done it. This is what I'm going to do. And you'll discover he's done it. And you can see very clearly through Scripture. Because God in his wisdom and his love, he's given us a biblical timeline. Did you know that? A biblical timeline. And so you can trace everything from the beginning of time when this King of Kings, in cooperation with the Father and the Holy Spirit, made this world by the power of his word. And in that reading that Bernard read for us, he is the very, this King of Kings, he's the very word of God. He shall be called, that's our series title, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. He shall be called Prince of Peace, a mighty God, an everlasting Father. He shall be called Lamb of God, Son of God, Wonderful Counselor. He shall be called King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He shall be called Faithful and True. In the reading again. You see, this king that was born is the king over all kings. And so even as he lay physically as a baby, he was very much a baby. And yet he had two natures. He had a human nature and he had a divine nature. Now, if you struggle with that, then join the gang. Join the gang. Because that is quite something, isn't it? To try and grasp. And we're not going to really fully unpack that reality this side of eternity. But let me tell you, I know it's true. I know it's true. Because this King of Kings is faithful and true. It says here in Revelation 19. And I know he is true because everything that he has promised me in the last 40-something years that I have committed my life to him, that not once has he been found wanting. Not once has he failed me. Not once has he been found to be in error. Not once. Everything this King of Kings says, he does. And the amazing thing is this. The greatest gift, you want a Christmas gift? The King of Kings stands amongst us tonight in the power of his Spirit. And he wants to give you a personal gift. And it's for you. It's forgiveness of sin. And it's everlasting life. If you confess your sin to this King of Kings, if you confess your need of him, and you bow your knee in humble adoration. The Bible talks a lot about coming to him in sincerity, in humility, with a broken and contrite heart. Are you willing this Christmas to come to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He is our only hope. He is your only hope. Through all the wickedness, through all the evil we see in this world tonight, through all the ups and downs and highs and lows, through the trauma of living in a sin-stricken world, he is your only hope. And he stands amongst us tonight in the person and power of his Spirit. And he says, come to me, just as you are. Cry from your heart, Lord Jesus, save me. I accept, I acknowledge that you are mighty God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay. For you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And if you pray a prayer, something like that, you will then say, I know he is faithful and true. He has saved me. Blessed be his name. King of Kings, Majesty. Then you can sing Christmas morning, God of heaven, who lives in me. Why? All because of the baby that was born for you and for me. His name is Jesus. He is the King. May he be King of your life. And may he tonight sit and rule from the throne of your heart. Surrender your life to him. And you will never, ever regret it. I remember years ago, I was with an elderly gent. He'd been walking the Christian pathway for many years. And we saw this punk rocker coming towards us. And I says, George, keep walking. But he said to the punk rocker, do you know Jesus? And his punk rocker said, no. I highly recommend him. And we kept walking. Well, listen, I don't see any punk rockers here tonight. But by nature, we're all rebels. We all want to be king, don't we? That's the problem is, we want to be king. We want to be in charge. Surrender your life to the King of Kings. I highly recommend it. Well, we're going to sing.